Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome four distinctive individual and talented performers who this week are going to show their verbal dexterity, their ingenuity and wit with language and words as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four stalwarts are seated on my right, it's Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, it's Tony Hawkes and Dave Gorman. Will you please welcome all four of them? Seated beside me is Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the recently refurbished Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House near the centre of London, and we've got a fine-looking audience in front of us. So we'll begin the show with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the subject in front of me, happy hour. Tell us something about happy hour in Just a Minute, starting now.
I strongly believe that there should be penalties for people who aren't happy enough during happy hour. Furthermore, if those people cease to be happy...
And Paul Merton Challenge.
I think we had two people there, didn't we? People and people.
Yes, we did indeed. Listen, Paul, you have 50 seconds to take over the subject of happy hour, and you get a point, of course, for a correct challenge, and your time starts now.
It does rather infer that the other 23 should be dead miserable, and I don't think that's the case. Happy hour should be extended into a happy life. All of us should do jobs that we find fulfilling. Look at Nicholas Parsons. He absolutely loves the work. It gets him out of the house, and it's...
Dave Gorman Challenge.
You made me look at Nicholas Parsons.
So, Dave, what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Deviation.
Why?
Because you're on the radio and I only ever listen to you. And I had to look at you. And that was a deviation from the norm.
I think your reasoning is very devious, and I'd love to give you a point, and it's lovely to hear from you, but I'm afraid I don't think it was deviation within the rules of Just a Minute. So, Paul, you have an incorrect challenge. 36 seconds for you, Paul, still on happy hour, starting now.
When I first went down in a submarine, I was absolutely ecstatic. We were there underneath the ocean for barely 60 minutes, but I have to say it was amongst the happiest times of my life. Who could have predicted at the age of 14 that I would one day become a submariner? I was thrilled to be in that position. Somebody's gone like that, but there's no reason.
And Clement Challenge.
Deviating.
What?
Someone is doing that. It's nothing to do with a happy hour.
Well, I've never been in a submarine for that matter. I mean, you know.
I'm perfectly prepared to believe that going down in a submarine gives you a degree of happiness.
Especially the way you've just put it, yes.
Yeah. And that's what Paul was trying to convey, and I absolutely agree
with
him.
Were you not listening? You went.
I listened to every single word. He went down the submarine. He was 14 years of age. He was in an ecstatic situation. He was the happiest hour of his life, and he came up again, and he was still going on about it. I thought you were going to get him for that noise, maybe, which was rather a repetitious noise, wasn't it? But it's too late now, so... Paul, benefit of the doubt, another point to you, 16... seconds available. Happy hour starting now.
Bars indulge in the practice of happy hour to lure punters into their premises, and once they're drunk, the seasoning will go into their heads and they will think to themselves, I must have more alcohol, beer, wine, whiskey, gin, brandy, the full panoply of spirits are available to me.
So, Paul Merton was speaking when the whistle went, and whoever is doing that in this game, of course, gets an extra point. And so, at the end of that round, he's the only one to have any points at all. And, Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject is two sides to every story, which is what I find when I get a challenge in Just a Minute and I have to make a decision. 60 seconds for you, Clement, starting now.
If there are to be two sides to every story, let me give you the first story. Once upon a time in a forest, there lived an elderly woman with eight grandchildren. Her husband was a...
Tony Challenge.
Fluent story, wasn't it?
Was there a hesitation?
There was indeed.
The story could have gone on for some days, I felt.
A point to you for a correct challenge, Tony. 46 seconds. Tell us about two sides to every story, starting now.
People say that there are two sides to every story, but is that really the case? There are four sides to a two-story building.
Dave challenged.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Dave. Yes, so you have the subject. You have 38 seconds. Tell us something about two sides to every story, starting now.
There are at least two sides to every story, and some stories have more than two sides. For example, when Kate O'Mara starred in Triangle, that certainly had at least three sides to its story. I used to live in a block of flats. Every single story had more than two sides. If it didn't, the whole thing would have fallen down. The phrase, the two sides to every story, denotes that you should never take one person's word for it when there might be another version of events that you should really inquire into. Imagine in the legal situation where someone just listened to the first witness and...
Dave Gorman hasn't played the game as much as the others, and he went magnificently then for 45 seconds. Well done, Dave. And Tony Hawk's got in with 5 seconds to go. So, will you take back two sides to every story? 5 seconds, starting now.
There are two sides to every story. Nicholas Parsons knows this only too well. Every time the buzzer...
And Paul challenge.
We have the phrase, there are. We have there are before.
Yes, there are two sides to every story. You started before when you said there are two sides to every story and you went on about that. Mm-hmm. So, well, listen, Paul, right back to the beginning and got in with half a second to go. Two sides to every story, starting now.
If we look at some of the...
Paul was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, has increased his lead ahead of Tony Hawk's Dave Gorman and Clement Freud. Dave Gorman, will you begin the next round? The subject is room 102. Tell us something about room 102, starting now.
Before we can fully understand the significance of Room 102, we must first become aware of the literary reference to 1984, set in a dystopian future. He uses Room 101 as a symbol of everything that is wrong in the world. It takes its number from the number of Dalmatians.
And Clement, you challenged.
Repetition number, of number. Number.
Yes, there were too many numbers there. So 38 seconds available still. Clement, tell us something about room 102, starting now.
I once stayed in room 102 of a not very good hotel in Las Vegas. And at 11 o'clock at night, there was a knock on my door. And a man said, house detective, have you got a woman in there? I said, no. And he said, would you like one? I think I'll stop there.
Tony Hawk's, you challenged.
I just want the name of the hotel. No, I think there was a repetition of said in there.
That's right, yes. Well done, Tony. You have 21 seconds. Room 102 starting now.
Room 102 was by far the largest classroom at Goldstone Junior School, where I was an infant many years ago. Oh, what fun we would have in that very place. We would gather pencil sharpeners.
And Paul challenged.
Well, it's a very small word, but it's quite a lot of wee's there.
There were a ton of wee's there. We gathered there and we did this. Mm. And a lot of wee's. And so... What a funny audience. And 8 seconds for you, Paul, on Room 102, starting now.
Room 102 is a magnificent idea for a television programme. What you do is you get people to talk about their favourite things and you then...
So, Paul Merton was speaking then as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of that round. And Paul... it's also your turn to begin. So would you now take the subject of sibling rivalry? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
All the Wright brothers were very competitive. They each one wanted to invent the plane first. So Wilbur would say to Orville, I'm just going round the back to do a bit of shopping, but secretly he was sticking wings onto a Volkswagen and driving it down the runway and soaring above the clouds, and he'd come back, oh, the shops were shut. And then the other brother would say to himself, what's that over there? And he'd run round and he'd get into a Tiger Moth and he'd circle all around the aerodrome. Of course, it wasn't called that in them days, no. It was called the back of the supermarket, and that's what they used to do, as fierce brothers, even at an early age.
And Tony challenged.
I just thought he was going to die if I didn't. repetition of brothers?
Yes, they were talking about the brothers, yes. I mean, they were siblings, but that was not on the card. So,
no,
but we did enjoy it. We could have let you go on about that, yes.
Yeah, well, you didn't, though, did you?
Tony, you have the correct challenge. A point to you. Sibling rivalry. 33 seconds, starting now.
Sibling rivalry is not to be confused with Gosling rivalry or Quisling rivalry. These are completely different things, and I shan't be talking about them.
Paul challenge.
Well, it's just rubbish. Deviation or something? Quisling rivalry? What's Quisling rivalry?
I couldn't tell you. It's not on the subject.
Well, he's deviating from the subject by telling us what he's not talking about. And by talking about it, he's deviating from the thing that he says he's not talking about it because he's talking about it.
Yes, he was going on about different kinds of rivalry and not sibling rivalry. I was fascinated by the Quisling rivalry, all the Quislings who occurred during the last war, all rivaling each other. It created an image that...
if you give me the subject, I'll tell you about it.
But you said you weren't going to tell us about it. He's deliberately said you weren't going to tell us about Quisling rivalry, and now here you are dangling in front of us.
I've changed.
No, it's sibling rivalry, and there are 23 seconds still available. Paul, it's with you, starting now.
If you take brothers and sisters...
Tony challenged.
Repetition of brothers.
Oh, yeah, you used the word brothers before, the Wright brothers, yes.
Did I say brother? No, I said brothers.
No, you did talk about the Wright brothers, yes. So, Tony, you've got it straight back. 21 seconds, starting now.
My three brothers are intensely jealous of me. They've always wanted to appear on this show. A class act is how they describe it. What disillusioned figures they must be.
Clement challenged.
Three theys.
Yeah, there were three theys.
That might be the name of each one of his brothers. We don't know.
Clement, you have 14 seconds, starting now.
One of the extraordinary things about only children is that not only do they not have penis envy...
Paul challenged.
Oh, it's a shame, but there was two onlys in quick succession.
Two onlys in quick succession.
Only child only.
So, there are 9 seconds still on sibling rivalry with you, Paul, starting now.
My sister is somewhat younger than me, so I've never been in the position of having an older brother. But...
Repetition of brother.
No, I said brothers before.
No. You said one brother invented this...
That's right, you did
indeed. Oh, I've said brother and brothers.
You said brothers.
You said both.
The Wright brothers, and one brother did this, and the
You're
other
right,
brother
I
put
did
the wings
you?
On.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So there's 7 seconds available with you, Clement, on sibling rivalry, starting now.
If parents only have a...
Four challenge.
Repetition of only.
Only.
Unbelievably. Repetition of only.
I believe it.
6 seconds still. Sibling rivalry, starting now.
Dave Davis and his brothers. I've said that again.
How many times did he get to say brother and brother in one round?
I think every time I get the chance.
repetition.
Every time. But anyway, a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a correct challenge, Tony. You've got 3 seconds on sibling rivalry starting now.
I've heard it said that the Wright brothers were particularly...
Who said that, Dave?
To be honest, I just heard the word brothers again, and it was a Pavlovian reaction by now. Every time I hear it, I try to press the buzzer.
Actually, I said brothers in the first time. I said my three brothers before, so he's right.
So, Dave, you have 1 second on sibling rivalry starting now.
Being a twin...
So Dave Gorman was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's in third place now. He's ahead of Clement Freud, and he's a little bit behind Tony Hawks and a few behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. So the subject we'd like you to begin with is how to whistle. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow. Those marvellous words said in a film which, unfortunately, I cannot say the title of, otherwise I will be buzzed for repetition. The aficionados amongst you will know anyway, so you don't need to be patronised by the likes of me. However, it has just happened. I would like to add at this point that I have always been an excellent whistler because I was taught how to whistle when I was just 4 years old in room 102, which was the largest classroom in Goldstone Junior.
And and Dave challenged.
I think there was a sort of hesitation in class where he sort of stumbled over his words.
He stumbled a little bit, Dave, yes. Benefit of the doubt, you have the subject of how to whistle. You have 27 seconds available starting now.
I do not know how to whistle. If I were to try to whistle now, it would just sound like I was...
And Clement challenged.
I think that was hesitation.
It was hesitation, Clement, yes. 21 seconds, how to whistle, starting now.
Like Dave Gorman, I do not know how to whistle, but Trudy, who blows the whistle, is extremely competent. Seldom has anyone sat next to you with a greater ability to put this thing in her mouth and blow and make a noise which stops us from talking altogether because it is...
So Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle win, gained that extra point. While those in the round is now equal with Dave Gorman in third place, one behind Tony Hawks. Paul Merton's just a few ahead in the lead. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. What a charming subject now. Will you take this Lily of the Valley? Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Lily, many people remember, was a tremendous supporter of Charlton Athletic Football Club, who play at the Valley, an old sand pit in southeast London, which when it began...
And Paul challenged.
There was a slight hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation, Paul. So Lily of the Valley is with you, 47 seconds available, starting now.
Although I don't think the hesitation was perhaps justified enough to me to take over the subject, so I hand it back to Clement.
Clement challenged.
I'd accept it.
He accepts it.
So, Clement, you have another point, and you have 44 seconds. Continue on Lily of the Valley, starting now.
The Valley, when it first opened, held 75,000 people, was the largest ground anywhere, and hardly anyone came.
And Tony challenged.
I think you said ground the first time round.
Mm. Yes. Pitch. Did you talk about the ground at the beginning? Yes.
Pitch, I think.
Hmm.
No, it was a ground.
Was it?
Well...
Anyone recording this? We could solve a lot of these problems just by listening it back, couldn't we?
He definitely didn't say pitch.
No, he didn't say pitch. He said ground.
Good try.
Lily of the Valley is with you. 36 seconds, Tony, starting now.
Lily of the Valley was just outside Swansea. Astrigan Lice.
And Paul Challenge.
Then why is he doing a South African accent? What's the...
We enjoyed the interruption.
Yeah.
But shall we give you a bonus point for that? But he was interrupted.
Yes.
And though it was a very bad Welsh accent, he can do what the hell he likes in just a minute, providing he doesn't hesitate, repeat something, or deviate. So 32 seconds, Lily of the Valley with you, Tony, starting now.
In a valley just outside Cape Town, there was this really...
Now that's Welsh, that's Welsh. Repetition of just outside, just as in just outside,
yes,
Swansea, just outside Cape Town.
Paul, 30 seconds. Lily of the Valley is with you, starting now.
Lily is a wonderful woman, you know. And when you go to the valley, there she is by the cottage. And she's eating lava bread and she's got a rugby ball under her hand. And she's got a Max Boyce album playing in...
Tony challenged.
Well, I don't think there's any place for South African in this. No, I think the three she got.
She got, yes, she had a go, yes, she had the lava bread.
Could you tell the way I was saying it?
Oh, yes, I think the Welsh would have been very embarrassed, the whole thing. The 20 seconds. Lily of the Valley with you, Tony, starting now.
I am growing a Lily of the Valley in my back garden. I planted it last Thursday. Not interesting information for you, but using up valuable time from my point of view. I'm hoping it will grow large.
And Paul Chandler.
Deviation. He's talking about, you know, wasting time from his point of view, not information. It's come off Lily of the Valley. He's talking about how much time he's got left. Complete deviation, absolutely outrageous. Yeah, I'm coming all the way from Great Portland Street. I don't have to listen to this.
That was echoes of Kenneth Williams, who came all the way from Great Portland Street. Yes, I think you have the benefit of the doubt. Paul, Lily of the Valley is back with you. 11 seconds, starting now.
I have...
And Clement challenged.
Hesitation.
No. It hardly started. And 10 seconds.
He hasn't started. That's what hesitation is.
1 second had gone on the clock.
That's
and
hesitation.
And he didn't speak during that time.
Yeah.
So there can hardly be hesitation.
You think 1 second is not hesitation?
1 second of
speech. 16%.
There was 1 second of speech, and so he has 10 seconds still to continue on Lily of the Valley, starting now.
Edward the VII's secret lover was Lily Langtree, and he used to meet her every Friday night in a valley just round the back of Buckingham Palace. They had a right old time. He used to love...
So Paul Merton is again speaking as a whistle and gained that extra point. He's increased his lead ahead of Tony Hawks, Clement Freud and Dave Gorman in that order. And Dave, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is inner chat room. Can you tell us something about inner chat room starting now?
A chat room depends on the language you're speaking. In English, it would be a place on a computer where people could have a virtual conversation. In French, it would be a place where you keep a cat. On a
Tony, you've challenged.
Yes, it was quite a faulty buzzer there. I had to actually bash it against the light to get it to work.
So what was your challenge?
It was hesitation.
Yes, it was indeed, yes. So you have 48 seconds on in a chat room starting now.
If you use wireless internet, you can actually be in a chat room whilst being outside. Quite an extraordinary thing if you think about it. But let's not spend too much time on that. I have a chat room at home in which I invite guests. We sit down and we have a biscuit sometimes. Tea follows. Stupid, I should offer that first, but I don't. I'm particular about that. And we chat sometimes about just how dull I have become in the last year and a half. It partly as a result of being on this show and having to fill time. Not that I'm doing that now, Paul, let me tell you. I am chatting, in a way, to this audience who are enthralled by everything I'm saying, which is extraordinary. They must be quite sad.
And, Paul challenge.
I don't know if they're enthralled by everything you're saying. I don't think that's deviation. I don't think they're enthralled by everything you're saying.
No, I think they were bored, but they laughed. I think you're correct. I mean... I think that would be a fair interpretation. They were not actually informed.
No, but I was looking at them, Nicholas. Not one of them were here.
Well, I suppose the final arbiters have to be the audience, and they were, according to them, enthralled. It's amazing what will enthral this audience, isn't it? Who challenged Ed? Clement?
Me. Do you think I could have a bonus point? Because my buzzer doesn't work very well. I haven't had a point for quite a long time.
Should have a point. He hasn't had a point for a long time.
I know, but the audience endorsed it, so they give him a point. The audience said, in fact, give him 2 points and make him very happy. Right. But the audience decided that you had been enthralled by your rubbish, Tony. So you have the benefit of the doubt, and you have 10 seconds in a chat room starting now.
In a chat room just outside Stellenbosch, near Cape Town, stood Lily. She had never been in one of these before. She was nervous, as you would expect.
And Paul Challenge.
A repetition of she.
She, yes. Stood Lily, yes. 2 she's. 3 seconds available still in the chat room with you, Paul, starting now.
When I sit down in front of my kabuser early in the morning, I say to myself...
Wait a minute, Dave Challenge.
I think it was a kabuser, wasn't it?
Not a computer. Yeah, I've got a cheap one.
Yes.
I've got a cheap one.
You've got a cheap one. I think you meant to say computer.
It's a guy that travels back to the bank every day. He's a commuter.
Computer. I think it was deviation from the language as we understand it. So, Dave, you have the point. You have half a second on this occasion. You're getting good at getting in like that. In a chat room with you, Dave, starting now.
Yahoo.com.
So Dave Gorman got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now equal with Clement Freud in third place. They're just behind Tony Hawks, and they're all a little way behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead as we move into the final round. And Tony, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now, the fourth wall. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The fourth wall is the one you build before you realise you can't get out of the room. Terrible error, I've done it on many occasions, had to be rescued some time ago when it happened. But it also is a theatrical reference to the fourth wall is said to be the one that you mustn't break. In a play, if you talk to the audience, then you have shattered the illusion of the magical world you have worked so hard to create. Oh, the director would be furious with you. He would have a bit of a mincy tantrum, possibly, coming up to your table. What are you doing that for? Oh, that was a very...
Paul Challenge. Yes, Paul.
Well, it became a bit gibberish then, didn't it?
Yes.
Lapsed into Romanian unnecessarily.
No, we'll call that hesitation. And or deviation, whichever you like. But 27 seconds with you, Paul, on the fourth wall starting now.
The fourth wall. When we think of how many great walls there have been in the world, how many conjure up in our heads?
And Clement challenged.
Repetition of how many?
That's right, how?
I would have thought. Yeah.
Yes, definitely, Clement.
I would have thought as well.
Right, for you, 20 seconds, tell us something about the fourth wall starting now.
I have walked across the fourth bridge and look as I would, no fourth wall, not anywhere. It's on the bridges tend not to have walls. Have you noticed?
You challenged.
I think he was just realising how many bridges do have walls. But anyway, I think he definitely hesitated.
And so 9 seconds are still available, Tony. Tell us something about the fourth wall starting now.
The fourth wall is slightly positioned onwards from the third wall, which itself is also...
And Paul challenged.
Well, it was hesitation.
That was
it?
A hesitation. Yes, the fourth wall is back with you, Paul, and you have 4 seconds starting now.
Max Wall came from a long line of music hall artistes. He's...
So, let me give you the final situation. Dave Gorman, as I said, only played the game once before. He came in a very strong fourth place. Yes, it was very powerful.
Can I just point out that in that game, Clement did just buzz in and say, can I have some points, and you gave him 2. And if you just gave me 2 for asking, then I'd be level.
I will give you 2. Good answer. There's nothing like being bold. So, Dave, you're no longer in fourth place.
Hang on a second. I am I to understand that myself and Tony are being penalised here because... We haven't so far asked for 2 points.
It won't make any difference to the result. I can give you both 2 points if you want. But
I'd very much like to give one of my points
to charity.
I can give the points, but I don't think the contestants can give the points to the other contestants.
Let's have a bloodless coup.
I wouldn't accept your point anyway, Clement. No, I'm very happy to tie with you. I wouldn't want your charity. I don't want to be patronised.
No, I agree with your reasoning, Dave. I did give 2 bonus points to Clement, and you didn't get any, so you got 2 bonus points, and you're now equal at the end alongside Clement Freud.
I'm happy to give up some of my
points. Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't need them anymore.
Tony.
Frankly, Dave could have them.
No, I'll give you 2 bonus points as well. Tony Hawks, I've given you 2 bonus points, but you're still in second place. But out in the lead, and I don't think you're anywhere going to catch him today, he's got quite a lot of points. It's Paul Merton, so we say, Paul, this week you are our winner. So, thank you very much. Very amazing today. Thank you to these 4 fine players of the game. Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Dave Gorman and Tony Hawks. I also thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown a whistle magnificently when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we are grateful to our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're very indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game which we enjoy playing. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here at the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House, who have cheerfully cheered us on our way. From me, Nicholas Parsons, from our team, goodbye. And don't forget, listeners, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!
And next week, Clement Freud will once again join Nicholas along with Giles Brandreth, Graham Norton and Phil Jupiters. That's at the same time, 6:30.